This morning we're going to talk about the subject of having a clear and present love. Y'all knew that because last week I kind of gave you a preview of where we were going. Last couple of weeks it's been about a clear and present faith, hope. This week it's about a clear and present love. And I thought, what greater way to show love than to buy my wife a dozen roses with some baby's breath? And I thought, as I was looking at this and picking it out at the store, I was thinking, why do guys do this? And yeah, because my wife does like it, but I was just, I guess, a little braggadocious yesterday as I was doing it, because I was wearing a t-shirt that I had purchased for myself that has this muscle-bound guy standing in front of a trophy saying, "Trophy husband." And I'm standing in the line with my dozen roses and the baby's breath arrangement. My shirt just, my chest out there. You know, boom. And the lady in the line in front of me looked, and she had sunglasses on, so it was like I couldn't see, if she was just looking at my handsomeness or what. But then I could sense the spirit of jealousy, because some woman had a trophy husband that was there buying her roses and baby breath. And then as she was lifting the cake that she was purchasing up to the cashier, I noticed that she didn't have a wedding ring on. And I thought, wow, how many people in our world are just walking around just desirous to have someone love them and to give that kind of an expression. But even furthermore, as I started looking at the roses and the baby's breath, I was like, wow, Lord, this is not just a representation of me showing my wife love. This is about Christ. The red represents his blood that was shed for you and for me. The white, the purity of the relationship that he now brings you into because of his shed blood for your sins, for those who believe. The green represents a new life that begins in Christ Jesus. And I was just, thank you, God. Thank you for that insight. Why is it a great way of showing love to my wife? Well, because it represents Christ to her. And I told her that as I gave her the roses and the baby's breath. I said, this is a present from Jesus, your real lover. Do you have a clear and present love? Do you possess a clear and present love? We're going to find out this morning. We're going to find out from God's word, not from my thoughts. Because God's word says a whole lot about God's love. Amen? So a clear and present definition of love comes right out of 1 John 4, 7 to 12, 16 to 19. And I know these are long passages, so although last week I had you stand up to read the Word of God together, just stand up in your hearts and read the Scripture with me, please. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. You can read it out loud with me if you wanted to. It'd really refresh me too, because then that way I get to hear it. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as sacrifice to take away our sins. That's a definition of love right there, folks. That God sent his only Son as a sacrifice to take away what? Our sins. That's what the love of God is all about. So let's continue. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. I detest the news of today's world, where it shows nothing but hatred from one person to another. It just wants to keep throwing that up, throwing that up, throwing that up, and I want to throw up on my TV. Except then my wife would have to clean that up, and that wouldn't be showing love to her. But I am so sick and tired of the news showing us as divided. Where Christ says, and even prayed for, Lord, may they be one as you and I are one. Why? So that the world will know about us. About us. But the world's so busy hating each other. This group hates that group. This group says something bad, so this one says, oh, well, if you say something bad, then I can hate you for doing that. No, we're supposed to be a loving and forgiving people. Are people always going to say things to you that just make you happy and cheerful? Work in public service. It doesn't work that way. And the public service people went, amen, right? Y'all a bunch of jerks out there, actually. As far as public service workers go, they see the ugly in people. Instead of any kind of compassion or love, they see nothing but, well, I'm angry and this is overpriced and I'm having to wait in this line. Can't you have any more cashiers up here? Where are you hiding the merchandise? It's not where I found it last month, last year. What have you people been doing? I mean, they see the wrath. And again, the service people go. Amen. They're so beat up. It's not fun being in a public works environment, waiting on people. And the retired pastors and even those that are presently pastors, they too said, sometimes you people just bring ugly into our offices. And we got to love you anyway. I mean, you think that we got rhinoceros skin, but we're supposed to have hearts of lambs. That's what you expect. There are sometimes you might be just going off and I'm biting my tongue. There are some times that the fireman returns to me and I come back with something smart and sassy, because that's how we just dealt with things in the fire department. You get in my grill about stuff, I'm going to get right back in your grill. But as a pastor, I've had to try to tune myself in to be in the love of Christ. But some of y'all make it very hard. But by the grace of God, I venture on. So since God so loved us that he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins, Since he did that, what's his requirement? What is it saying right here in the scripture? I'm not going to try to interpret it for you. You read it for yourselves. We surely what? And I want you talking to Shirley. It says, because it ain't spelled the same. And she's saying, thank you, Lord, for my parents not naming me S-U-R-E-L-Y. But surely, we ought to love what? Each other. Each other. We'll get into the characteristics of what that means a little bit later. But think about that. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, then guess what? They get to see God in us. Because God will be an expression of us and his love to them. His love is then brought into full expression. Let's continue on in the reading. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Well, isn't that for sure? God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So, we'll not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, and you might want to underline that, if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. We love each other. It's not a, well, I'm just not feeling it, God. I really don't want to love Corey. I mean, after all, he offended me. He's not wearing his Hawaiian shirt like I told him to do. Love you, Corey. We love each other. Why? Because he loved us first. My love for you, for this church, is not because I'm just an ushy-gushy kind of love guy, but it's because I want to show you the love of Christ. And pardon me if sometimes I don't show that. There is a human side to me as well. So love me back. And shame me with your love. Then we'll all get along really well. Amen? You love me, I love you. No, don't go there. Barney, yeah. The Barney song came into me, right? He was like, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. There we go. Those of you who have been too far removed from raising children do not know the Barney song. Or you knew it at one time, but you, like me, forgot the words. So now we have a clear and present definition of what love is. If there's any discussion, if there's any argument, I'm asking you to go back and read that passage. In fact, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, there's a song that someone brilliantly made out of that. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is known of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, right? We all learn that, you know, it's a great way to learn scripture. is by singing it sometimes, making songs out of it. But if you want to have a clear and present definition of what love is, what am I as a pastor, what are we as a church going to desire to see in each person? This is it. This is the definition, just so that we all have a clear and a present idea of what the love of Christ is. It's not up for debate. It's not about what religious group do you find or follow. It's about loving God. Why? Because he first loved us. It's not something, okay, well, I'm just not feeling it. It's not about your feelings. It's about the truth that you are commanded by God to love each other. Commanded. You got to do this, and we'll get into that. So the characteristics of Christ-like love, because if this is the definition of love, well, then how does that get worked out into life? You know, how do I put some feet on the pavement with love, with Christ-like love? Well, we go to the love passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. And notice that it talks more about what love is not than it does about what love is. It'll start off with, love is patient and kind. Stop, sentence, ender, a period, right there, boom. Love is patient and kind. We have lost our patience and we have lost our kindness as a people, for the most part. We are so worried about our side of the argument being told to the other person that we've lost all sorts of patience. We've lost kindness. They've got to have a piece of my mind right now. Yeah. You take that piece of your mind and just kind of toss it away. Unless you've got the mind of Christ. Then give it away. But opinions, come on, folks. They're like armpits. Everybody has one or two, and some of them really stink. Just saying. Love is patient and it's kind. Love is not. Now, here's a whole list of things that love is not. Love is not what? Jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. So, your little child at the grocery store. Amen. Mommy? Yes. Mommy? My name is Little Richard, and I want that candy bar now.
I'm sorry,
no.
No?
No. I want that toy right now.
No.
No? What is it then? You're the mom, tell me. And they want it, they want it, they want it. Do it my way, or I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to throw myself down on the floor. And I am going to holler and scream. You ever have a child do that to you in the store? Guess what? It doesn't embarrass you as much as it should embarrass that child. Look at that silly child. You're right? Who do you belong to, child? I mean, you just play that right off. You know, you can't possibly be my child. My child doesn't act like that. Who do you belong to? Customer service. We have a lost child here. Because this is not my child. Ma'am, we saw you walk in the store with that child. Yeah, but somewhere, some aisle, they switched him out. I don't know what happened. But that is not my child. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Boy, I point that one out to my wife quite often. Honey, did you do that again? Honey, love keeps no record of wrong. So don't give me that again thing, okay? Yes, but I'm seeing a pattern, honey. I think you need to deal with it. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Amen. Love what? Never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Right? So, I had a very wise pastor, a teacher, point out to me that if you take these characteristics of love that we get from 1 Corinthians 13, and instead of saying love is patient and kind, to put Jesus, the name of Jesus there. Jesus is patient and kind. He is not jealous, boastful, proud. You know, so you go through that whole scripture, and every place it talks about love, you put Jesus there. And when you do that, you know, you go, wow, that makes a whole lot of sense, right? And so I know the demands of the Bible that tell me that I am supposed to be like Christ. So then the Bible teacher steps on my toes, gets in my grill, and he says, put your name there. I was like, so I got some work to do, huh? Yeah. And we have to work that. We have to work to become Christ-like in the way that we love, in the ways that we don't love. We don't love jealously or boastfully or proud or rude or keep a record of wrongs and have our own way. It's not irritable.
Oh, you have to put that in there. I get irritated real easy.
Yeah, but love isn't irritable. So it's just a nice temperature gauge, if you will. Put your name in there and see if you measure up to being Christ-like. Because these are the characteristics. This is how love is actually shown in the world, is by being these very same things. Why is it important that we possess Christ-like love? Why is it important? Well, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40 gives us why it's important. Let's read that together. Jesus said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second command is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." It is. It's all about love. And it's all about obedience. You know, how do we show we love? By being obedient to the Word of God. When the Word of God is revealed to us, then we have to put our life into that truth. If we don't do that, then we're not loving God by showing our obedience to the revealed truth of God. Amen? So, is it a suggestion? Is that what Jesus said here? Jesus said you what? Must love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Basically, Jesus is saying, love God with everything that you are. Don't leave anything out. Don't leave any day out. Don't leave any hour out. Don't leave any second out. Love God with everything you are. You know why there are times when we feel shameful or sorry for things? It's because we start exiting God out of the picture and we start loving ourselves instead of loving God. Just saying. You must. I think one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible says in the last days that there'll be many gathered. And they'll say, but Lord, we healed people. We healed sick people. We baptized in your name. We fed those who were hungry. We gave water to those who were poor. And it's just the weirdest reply. God says, go away. I never knew you. What? Well, you see, you kept yourself hidden from me, the real you. You did all those things so that men would see your generosity and you would be applauded by men. You never came to me and asked me, do I want you doing that? You see, I'm your commander. I'm your chief. I'm your ruler. I'm your king. And though you may have done those things and you may have done them in my name, I never knew you. Isn't that just like drop the mic kind of a statement from God? Amen. Go away, I never knew you. What would you do in front of God at that time? I'd be kind of puzzled. But Lord, I did all the religious things. And God said, yeah, that's the problem. You did religion, but you didn't do relationship. I've called you to relationship. I've called you to love me with everything that you are. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. But Lord, I helped out this organization and I did this for these people and I did that for... Yeah, I didn't order you to do that. Those are things you wanted to be a part of. Those are things you wanted to do. You never asked me. You just kind of went about doing life the way you wanted to do it, according to your interests. I don't know who had to hear that. But the Lord just dropped that on me. So you got to hear it. That's not coming from your pastor. It's coming from God. We have given ourselves over to so many things that we forgot our first love. Our first love is Jesus. That's the importance of Christ-like love. How do I love like Christ? Well, that's what 1 Corinthians instructs you. Now here's a warning. Warning about errant love. 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Read this with me, please. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. My father, when I was a child, my father who loved the Lord and who taught about Jesus, my father would hammer me all the time on the scripture. Oh, Dad, I sure love my new bike that I got for Christmas. And he'd just look at me and go, son, please, don't love anything of this world. Don't love it. Oh, but Dad, it's so spectacular. You got me 6 speeds. Yeah, son, but I don't want you to love that. Well, Dad. Son, love not the things of this world. have your heart only for one thing. One thing. Your heart's purpose is for one thing. To love Him. To love the Father that I know, because He's your Father as well. But Daddy, you're my dad. No, I'm your earthly father, and I make mistakes. Your heavenly Father, Son, He loves you so much more. He loves you so much that He sent His Son, that His blood would bleed out for you and would cover your sins. That if you would only believe in Him and love Him supremely, that the righteousness of His cause, the purity of it, will just exude in and through you. And you will have a new life. My son, if there's nothing else that I want you to have, I know that you're going to have other things in life, but more than anything, I hope that you have a love for God above anything else in this world. What about you? You see, man is so wrapped up in what we can acquire, in what positions that we might hold in our workplaces. We're so wrapped up in my house looking better than yours, or where's the love of the Father? I was out yesterday enjoying the beauty of our wonderful climate here. And as I'm riding along and I'm just thanking God for the beauty of all that I was seeing, my heart was quickly quenched with all that joy by thinking about the people in all these devastated areas of our country. And I started thinking to myself, am I so selfish that I'm just thinking about me? I mean, these people are waking up even this morning going, how do I put my life back together? Everything I had, all my possessions, gone. Everything I craved, gone. My work, gone. My place of safety and sanctity, gone. Just driven away by the winds and the rains. Everything destroyed. I started thinking, Lord, if I was in that same position, how would I react? What would I do? I have so much. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me like you have. You are deeply loved. You are highly favored. You are wonderfully blessed. What are you doing to show the love of Jesus to others? There's a flyer on that back table back there. It's called Walk in God's Love. I think I had Shirley only make up about 30 of those, so take them, read over them. Because what that says is, number one, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, comes from Jesus. And then the different things that love does in its walk, it creates community. You see, I'm here because I love you, and I want to be here with you, worshiping our Savior, our Lord. Yeah, that's the reason I show up. It's the reason why I do what I do. is because I want to see a community of other believers in Jesus Christ just continue to walk in the purity and the sanctity of that relationship with a holy God. Love creates community. It promotes obedience. It provides motivation. It transforms character. It provides purpose. It stabilizes relationships. It compels concern. I don't know what role this church could have in helping those devastated by these storms or by the fires up in the Northwest. I mean, there's just so much in our brains. I don't know if you're like me. It's just like there is just so much going on. How can I possibly be effective in doing anything? Well, you're not effective in doing nothing. But there's something that if the love of the Lord compels you to do it, then do it. I don't know what that mission is for this church. I'm not going to define it. This is your church. This is your church. I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm the one that gets you angry and upsets you, but also who comforts you and cares for you. So don't shoot the messenger. But this is your community. This is your church. And it needs to come from your prayers and your concerns about what this church and how this church will reach out and show love to our community, to those dispersed in a time of hurting. And I know that you have that heart because you have raised up time and time again when there has been a need brought before this church. Amen? You are a loving group of people. And you respond well. But would you join me in praying for a united effort for this church to be a part of? We are missionally minded. It's not like we're just standing in the water not doing nothing. We have been doing a lot for a small church. But is there some purpose, some way that Mountain Valley could reach out? And no, I don't want you to come battering me with all your ideas. Again, first thing, prayer. Prayer. Because if it's from God, he'll reveal it not just to one, he'll reveal it to all of us, and we'll be in unity for that purpose. Agreed? Agreed? Thank you. I appreciate that. There's a lot of people. I mean, even right here in our own community. You respond well, you fill up that barrel for Yavapai food drive. You fill that up once a month, folks. We do other things with our monies that you give us. But what's our purpose as a church? I'm going to close with that prayer. Father, and worship team, would you please come up? And Father, would you please administer your wisdom to Mountain Valley? And Lord, not just the vision, but also the one who will be responsible for carrying out the vision. Because you know just as well as I do, Brother John doesn't need any more work. I don't need any more work. Shirley doesn't need any more work. But the people of God need to lend their hands to the work of God. So, Father, what's your vision? How can we show your love to this world? And may it truly be our heart's desire to have more love and more power. so that when we start off with something even small, something that may seem very insignificant, may that continue to grow, that as we do that in faith, that this is what you've called us to do, that as we make that little bit of difference and we show our faithfulness to it, that you'll call us to even more and more and more until we are so effectual for meeting the needs in this community that others would be drawn to a church that is alive and showing the love of Christ. So many great movements have been out of churches who have been given a burden from God to do just one thing. Schools have been started. Hospitals have raised up. What's your definition for Mountain Valley, Lord? What do you desire from us as a people? May we have one cry out to you, Lord, to follow your desires. We're just going to trust in you with all our heart. We're not going to lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways here at Mountain Valley. We're going to obey you. Give us more love. And give us more power to fulfill that which you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.